Well, this coming week, or this past week here, this we have just had, we have all kept the day of Thanksgiving, of course, a couple of days ago. It's a special day in this nation for obvious reasons. We've been asked to, and I really appreciate, I hope all of you do as well, the foresight that was shown in saying we need to have a day of appreciation to God for the blessings in this nation. I know sometimes we can look at the reality of what we are dealing with and what we face in day to day, and not only in our own lives, but of course what we see going on around us in life, and recognize that, boy, this is not necessarily the same place it was for those of us that have been living for a while as it was at X time in the past. And the direction in general that we are going is not one that I believe God would be well pleased with. And I think all of us certainly would agree with that. But of course, we also recognize that that must occur leading up to the time of Jesus Christ's return. But I have a question for you, because and this is the one I really want to focus on today. I'd like to begin this sermon by asking you, how grateful are you for what God has given you? Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. How grateful are you for what God has given you? It is very easy for we human beings to focus on what we think we don't have or would like, rather than what we have and what God has blessed us with. If God has given you a family, are you thankful for that family? Sometimes when you listen to people, you think, I'm not so sure they're even thankful for. Listen to how they talk about their family members. If God has given you a spouse, are you thankful for that spouse that God has blessed you with? If God has blessed you with a good job, how thankful are you for that job? If God has blessed you with children, how thankful are you for your children? If God has called you out of this world, how thankful are you for that calling? Now, I would like to think all of us would say, I'm pretty grateful for all of these. I'm truly thankful for whatever it is that you that fits, is appropriate for you in your life. As you all know here locally, every year I go to the Emerge Conference, which is sponsored by the RCMA, the Religious Conference Managers Association. And Colleen and I will again attend that coming up in January. This year it's in Phoenix. And they are wonderful people there in so many ways. And they, of course, are, there's the religious side of it. That is, those of us that would be, as I am, in the religious field, looking to bring business to different vendors, different locations. And there are those on the other side of that coin, then the ones that are wanting our business. Now, I think that there's, in general, a lot of very fine people that are there at this particular conference. And I think in some cases, or many cases, there's certainly those that are very grateful for what they do have. But you know, as nice as people are who attend this conference, and for as inspiring as some of the speakers that they host are, it's not the same for Colleen and me, and it's, I would say, the same for you, as being with and talking with one another here in God's church. There's something that we have that is very special, that bonds us, that connects us. What we consider to be important and choose to talk about is often elements of what God teaches in the Bible. And we find as we do that, that we are indeed thankful for God and His truth. We begin to look at things much bigger picture, beginning with the fact that we have life in the first place. There are so many people, I believe, that frankly don't appear to be all that grateful that they have life. And then many people obviously don't understand God's plan, so they don't have that to be thankful for in the same way that you and I do. When I share with the vendors at the RCMA conference what I'm looking for in a location that we would consider to keep the feast, they are certainly grateful for any business that I could send them. Now, that's not a bad thing. But it pales in comparison to being thankful for the truth of God. They don't recognize what the Feast of Tabernacles is. They don't understand that. That's fine. God will teach them in due time. The truth is that I am thankful for the freedoms that I still have in this country. I hope you are too. But I'm far more thankful for the truth of God. And that is what gives me clarity. That is what gives me peace of mind. That is what gives me hope for the future and the future of man. The title of today's sermon is, Are We Grateful in the Way God Wants Us to Be? Are we grateful in the way that God wants us to be? Now, being grateful is one thing, but is it really in the way that God wants us to be? If you consider what you see more often than not in today's society, do you feel you see a lot of gratitude or a lot of ingratitude? Do you see a lot of honor your father and mother, or do you feel you see a lot of something other than that? Now, I realize some would tell you many in this nation have recently asked for a reset in our country. Others would argue that. But one thing cannot be argued, at least not in the minds of those who believe in God and His plan. This nation and this world is certainly drawing closer to the time of the Great Tribulation. I would like to read you part of an article written by a man named Michael Medved, titled The Poison of Ingratitude. Now, Michael Medved is a well-known film critic and author. He's a conservative writer and thinker. Some of you may be very familiar with who he is. Now, this particular article that I'm about to read to you is actually nearly 30 years old, but I've hung on to it for a particular reason, and I believe you'll see why, because I believe it's every bit as accurate today, even more so than it was the day that it was written. And I think you'll see what I mean as I read this. Again, it's called The Poison of Ingratitude. Honor thy father and thy mother is not only one of the biblical Ten Commandments, but it is also the most fundamental precept of all human decency and right behavior. At the moment, however, our media, our government, and even our public schools work together to undermine that imperative. Instead of attempting to increase the respect and gratitude that children feel for their parents, today's politically correct curricula convey the clear message that the older generation is comprised of a bunch of sexist, racist, homophobic, puritanical, Eurocentric, materialistic, and generally benighted bozos. Now, keep in mind, this was written, like I said, nearly 30 years ago. For instance, an official drug education study guide for the state of New Jersey calls upon fourth graders to wait until their parents are away from home and then to make a careful inventory of the family medicine cabinets, registering the presence of all addictive substances from alcohol to tobacco to, heaven help us, aspirin. Meanwhile, sex education and abuse prevention classes in many public schools demand that children describe in a graphic detail when and how their parents touch them and warn children, that displays of physical affection or corporal punishment are suspect. Children are taught, in other words, that parents are dangerous. The school, not the home, is touted as a safe haven where they are free to be themselves and will learn all of life's important lessons. This dismal situation requires nothing less than a revolution in American education. The first priority of every school, of every curriculum, of every teacher should be to bring children and parents closer together, not drive them further apart. My mother came to America with her family in 1934 to escape from Nazi Germany. On my father's side, it was my grandfather who made the trip from a little village in the Ukraine in 1910. He worked all his life as a barrel maker, and my dad recalls that his father used to come home every day with sore and sometimes bloody hands. Beginning at the age of 5, my father used to help him in taking out the splinters. My grandfather never made much financial progress in his life, and he died in 1958 in that same gritty South Philadelphia neighborhood where he lived for nearly 40 years. Did he feel bitter? Did he suffer clinical depression? No. He felt grateful for the opportunities that America had given him, and he lived long enough to see this, or see his son win a full scholarship to attend the University of Pennsylvania and earn a PhD in physics. Now, I mention this family story not because it's so extraordinary, but because it is so typical. When my grandfather died, my father went through his things and brought back something to show me that I'll always remember. It was an American history book. It was written in Yiddish with the Hebrew characters that my grandfather used to study for his citizenship exam. He always took pride in the fact that he finally managed to become a naturalized American in his late 70s. In any event, this book was filled with inspiring stories about our nation's great achievements and noble heroes, and if anyone would bother to translate it back from Yiddish to English, it would teach our children more effectively than any of the officially enlightened textbooks used in public schools today. How could we ever repay this country, this island of sanity and goodwill in the vast turbulent ocean of historic human misery, for all the gifts it has showered on us so freely, so open-handedly, and with so much noble and generous spirit? Perhaps the most basic explanation for the epidemic of ingratitude in this country is that too many of us, especially among our academic and media elites, refuse to recognize the great benefactor who most richly deserves our thanks. Even the observance of Thanksgiving has been distorted to suit the current and crazy idea that any acknowledgement of the Almighty in our schools represents some dire threat to our children. A number of elementary social studies go so far as to suggest that the purpose of the holiday is to remember the pilgrims expressing their appreciation to the Indians, not to God. If our schools can't teach our children who to thank and can't explore the role of religious faith as the foundation of our civilization, then they contribute mightily to the sour and restless mood among our young. So again, while this was written about, well, close to 30 years ago, it would be fair to say the trend explained has only continued down this same path. Today, let's ask and assess how grateful we are to God for the understanding that He has given us. And let's expand that to this question. Are you a sincerely grateful person? Now, you may think when I ask that question initially, yes, I am. I'm asking you to think as we go through what we go through today and consider, have I been probing that question enough? Am I good with the amount of gratefulness I've been conveying and expressing in how I think? And by the way, this plays out in all of our relationships. In other words, the health of our relationships is a big statement about how grateful or ungrateful we are for what we have. Let's expand this to this question. Are you a sincerely grateful person, like I say? For example, have you thanked God individually today for the privilege of being able to be here? How thankful are you really to be among God's called out? You know things that most people do not. Or at least you've been privy to the information at your fingertips that many never, ever, or even hear at this time. Many people live an entire lifetime trying to understand what the purpose for man is. By virtue of becoming a member of God's church, or if you are not yet baptized, perhaps by virtue of being around or raised in the church, you have seen and or heard and understand the plan of salvation for all of mankind. You know the truth. Do you thank God for that? Every single day. When was the last time you really took time to ponder with genuine appreciation what God's given you? Have you ever asked God to forgive you for being ungrateful? Have you asked Him to help you never be that way again? You know, it's been said one of the most prevalent or common sins of all is the sin of ingratitude. Let's consider that thought now in hopes of stirring each of us to a greater level of gratitude for what God has given us. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We were here actually in the sermonette today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to go over the same verses that were covered in the sermonette. Now, we didn't talk about this ahead of time, obviously, but this does happen periodically. Naturally, when we're talking about this week of Thanksgiving that we've been focused on, if you will, it makes sense that we would come up with some of the same, cover some of the same ground. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning of verse 16 says, rejoice always. And let me just stop right there and ask you, what's keeping you from rejoicing when you're not rejoicing? Well, Mr. Winter, I'm going to tell you, but let me tell you what my life is. It is full of misery. How do we fix if we find ourselves in that spot? How do we fix that? Do we fix somebody else? No. We fix us. How do we find that joy that might be missing? You know, I would share with you that when we lack the gratitude that God wants us to have and to share, it's going to be far more difficult to rejoice. Pray without ceasing. That just simply means consistently. Daily. Verse 18 says, in everything. Well, let's just stop and think about that word, everything. What's that mean to you? Well, now you're just downright meddling. You mean I got to be grateful and give thanks all the time? Yeah. So that means I need to get my mind in a place where I feel I'm even capable of doing that. For this is the will of God. This isn't Mark Winter just sharing this with you. This is the Word of God. If I were to ask each of you if you thought it was important to be thankful, I really believe that I would get 100% response to the affirmative. But how often do we remind ourselves that it is God's desire and indeed His will, is what we just read here, that we give thanks for all that we have been given, and we do it repeatedly? Every parent in here who has grown children knows what I'm saying here and understands this, how much we love hearing from our grown children. And they get engrossed and involved in their lives, and sometimes their lives are very frantic and go, 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 just like we find that is the case for us. And so we don't hear from them that often. It's not necessarily intentional. It's just kind of what happens. I know how we feel as parents when we don't hear from our children. How do you think God feels? What's the statement He's making here? It's His will that we give thanks for all that we have been given, and that we do it repeatedly, over and over and over. Why? Because the more we do this, the more we find that we have to be appreciative for. The more our mind starts to travel down that path of, oh, by the way, I recognize this as well. There should be a list of things that every time you get down on your knees that you're going through, and you might feel, well, is this vain repetition? Well, no, not if you're deliberate and you're sharing with them how you truly do feel. And there's certain things that are automatic for me when I get down on my knees to talk to God. I am very grateful for life. I'm very grateful for God's plan. I'm very grateful for my wife. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be a husband, a father, a grandfather, a pastor in His church, to have the opportunities that I have to serve in the different ways in the ministry. I'm very thankful that I have a beautiful home to live in, that we have the means and resources to be able to have what we have. I'm very thankful for the peace and safety and the country that I live in. There are so many things that instantly come to mind that are regular and consistent for me to ask or to thank God with. But here's the thing. The more we think about what we're reading today, the more we'll find we need to add to that list. And again, this is the will of God. Let me just say that when we do this and we contemplate what He's given us, it also tends to remind us of the importance of following what God says. Suddenly we pay more attention now. Oh, I see why He says this. And yes, oh, I want to do this. And oh, I don't need to spend my time focusing on things that are beating me down because, frankly, I'm just not where I need to be. What do I mean? Well, let's think about this for a moment. If we are rejoicing and we are praying regularly and we are giving thanks, as we're told here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, we also begin to have a greater appreciation for what God is telling us all throughout the Bible. Simply put, we understand with greater depth. Now, how do I know this? Because the way it works for us is the more we do what God says, the more we find that we want to do what God says. You see, when you think about it, Michael Medved is right. Ingratitude is a tremendously destructive force in anyone's life, more than perhaps we have ever recognized. In fact, it is a sin. And as we are, or should all be well aware, sin leads to death. Now, it's repenting and coming out of sin that leads to eternal life. So it seems to me that when we internalize this knowledge, then we can recognize with a deeper understanding why it is part of God's will for each of us to give thanks daily for what he has blessed us with. Matthew chapter 26, if you'll turn with me there. Matthew 26. Now here in Matthew 26, I'd like to begin reading in verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks. He did what? He gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you." There's an example being shared here. Now, I realize this is what we read at Passover time each year. But as always, Christ set an example for us to follow. Here, aware that he was about to sacrifice his life, he was giving thanks to the Father. How many people would be thinking that if they thought about what was about to occur or was coming up? Oh, boy, these people just don't realize how heavy I've got it. Different things that could obviously pop in the mind, right? He was grateful for the wine, for what it pictured, for the opportunity to waive the death penalty. He was thankful for the strength he knew the Father would give him. There was always respect for the Father, and one of the ways it was shown was through thankfulness. This brings up an interesting thought. Do we recognize that one of the ways we show respect and reverence for both the Father and the Son is by giving thanks daily? Now, I assume the answer to that is yes for all of us. Those who fear God are the same people who not only recognize that they have been given a lot, but are also very grateful and thankful for those blessings. People who fear God, people who revere the Father and the Son, are people who give thanks daily. Did you get what I'm saying there? If you revere God, don't just tell yourself you revere God if you're not backing it up with actions. You revere God, what do? You give thanks every day. You're grateful, extremely. And there are people who not only give thanks daily, but they change how they live their lives because they see they need to. Because you're tired of meeting that dead end place where you've been banging your head against the wall. So in other words, a good way to check yourself concerning how much you truly fear God is by answering the question, do I give thanks daily? And do I respond to the instruction that he's given me? I know that there are individuals in here, and we certainly know of others who have been with us and in some cases are no longer with us. They're awaiting the resurrection and have gone through a tremendous amount of pain for extended periods of time. It's hard for us to get our minds where they need to be when we're dealing with pain, right? We all would recognize that. It's just a challenge. Whether it's physical pain, whether it's emotional pain, whether whatever it might happen to be. And yet God's saying, I need you to, just like, you know, I would tell myself, this is me speaking to me, you know, like, I got Mark, pay attention to what you need to be paying attention to, because right now I'm having a hard time doing that. Am I moved by what he's blessed me with to the point that I have now changed how I think and operate and treat others? Sometimes I've been successful at that. Sometimes I haven't. Let's go to Psalm 50. 50th Psalm. And I agree again with our sermonette speaker today. The Psalms is a great place to go when we're talking about this subject. Psalm 50, the 50th Psalm, and let's take a look at verse 14. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Every once in a while, I sit down and I make a list of what I am thankful for. I do it because it helps remind me of what I sometimes have forgotten and have started taking for granted. It helps me because it reminds me how much I still need to change in order to please God more fully. When we're hurting, and I realize that a number of us in here are hurting in different ways, and all of us at different times hurt, what can I do to work my way through this, to achieve some level and degree of peace of mind and comfort and strength? Well, one thing I can do is start focusing on what I have actually been blessed with, and I need to give thanks for. There's something about that that sort of resets the mindset. When was the last time you sat down and simply made a list of what you are thankful for? When was the last time after that that you took it to God, thanking Him while also asking Him to help you recognize more fully the need to be thankful? Staying in Psalms, let's turn to the 68th Psalm, Psalm 68. Let's see what verse 19 shares with us, Psalm 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Okay, what are the benefits God has given you today? What did He load you with yesterday? What about last week? How much more deeply do you understand His Word today than you did just a couple of years ago? How often do you take time to contemplate this important and 100% accurate information, as is always the case in the Bible? This is truth. Let's reread it again. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Well, you know what, Mr. Winter, I sure haven't been thinking about that, because I've been thinking about this, this, and this. See what I'm saying about the reset? This Thanksgiving was a national day of thanksgiving for all God has blessed this nation with. But how many people in this country really do give thanks to God with true appreciation? Well, that's neither for us to sit and focus and judge on and that type of thing. More importantly than that, for you and me, are we grateful to be a first fruit? Now, I'm confident that our answer is yes. However, what I'm interested in getting us all to think about is, would God agree with our assessment? We may feel we're grateful, but would God agree with that as He looks at how we live each week? What signs can He look at that tells Him we are indeed grateful? Well, I've been fighting with so-and-so. I've been squabbling about that. I'm worn out on this. In other words, God's looking and saying, well, I know you say you're grateful, but it's a fair question to ask, isn't it, for all of us? My guess is that at one time or another, we've all had moments in which we contemplated the fact that God does bless us daily. However, it is a much rarer person that spends time each day thanking God than showing through action that what we are most grateful for is His truth and how that has changed the way we think, work, play, and treat others. A truly grateful person is steered by the Holy Spirit to appreciate what God has blessed them with, and in turn, no longer desires to live life in a way that leads to disappointment. In short, this person's behavior changes because of their gratefulness and recognition that God's way works. Simply put, when we are grateful in the way God wants us to be, it leads us to obey God. We read a moment ago in the 50th chapter of Psalms, or the 50th Psalm, that we are to give thanks to God the Father. Now let's notice that we are also to give thanks to our elder brother Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. And let's take a look here at verse 12 and what it shares with us. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Of course, here we have the Apostle Paul. He was thankful to Jesus Christ because he was counted worthy to serve in the ministry, as he's sharing this with Timothy. He knew what he was like before he was struck down by God and blinded for 3 days on his trip to Damascus. Now, I must tell you, that's something that I share with God, as I already mentioned to you in prayer, every time I get down on my knees by myself. I thank God for the opportunity to serve as a minister of Jesus Christ. Verse 14 goes on to explain the blessing that we are all shown when we respond to God's calling. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So as time passes and we grow in spiritual maturity, I believe passages such as this take on greater and greater meaning. It's not that we aren't thankful for what God has done, but we are even more thankful than we once were, as we recognize with greater depth that the world, or what the world has to offer, as opposed to what God has offered and will provide for us. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. I'd like to begin reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, have predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, first of all, we can see clearly here that anything of any real value is given to us by God the Father. That's what verse 3 shares with us right here. And that should be enough to make it very clear to us that we need to be tremendously thankful to him. It is an insult to him when we are not. It is ingratitude. Before the time of God, or before the time of human beings, began, before we were created, it was God's intent that we would ultimately become spirit beings and spirit members of his family for eternity. That is possible only through the redemption of Jesus Christ's shed blood, as verse 7 reminds us. So let me again ask you, what all do you have to be thankful for? You know, you look at these big things like this, big topics that are really at the heart and core and center of everything involving our life. It just takes the things that are challenging, frustrating, discouraging, hurtful, and diminishes them, because we're grateful and thankful for what God has made available to us. Now, I'm not saying that we don't suffer pain and hurt and anguish and shed tears when we go through difficulty. I don't want to sell this at all the wrong way. We do, and that's real. But again, I'm asking us to give thought to the subject today of the importance of gratitude and how deep that can go and how quickly that can begin to then alter our perception. Unlike what some people seem to believe, the greatest blessings the Father and the Son have given us are not pertaining to physical wealth. The greatest blessings we have been given is described right here in Ephesians 1. Let's go over to the book of Luke and read some more. Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, and I'd like to begin in verse 1. We'll read a number of verses here. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So, he was sending individuals, elders of the church, to go out and serve in different locations. And he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, say first, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it'll return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house, whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. By the way, do you think there's any gratefulness, thankfulness that's being taught in what we're reading right here? Well, absolutely, as you consider what's being shared. Heal the sick there, verse 9, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. The point that we most likely take from what we just read is that Jesus Christ wanted a ministry to go out in his name and to teach and prepare people. Accurate, yes. And he pointed out that they were to make it clear to those that were talking, they were talking to, that if they wanted to be blessed, they were to adhere to what it is that they were taught. Something that should also be obvious to us as we read this is that it's extremely damaging to turn our back on the Word of God. Now, I believe you know this or you wouldn't be here. But the truth is that if we fail to be grateful, to really appreciate what God is sharing with us, we are much more likely to let go of what we once thought was the most important thing in life. Why would we treasure something that we fail to appreciate, that we're truly grateful for? We would let it go, wouldn't we? We would show God in so many words, in so many ways, that this just really isn't that important to me. That's what grateful versus ungrateful shows. Something that should also be obvious to us as we read this is that it's extremely damaging, like I say, to turn our back on the Word of God. Let's notice, pick up beginning in verse 16. He who bears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Verse 17 says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. But notice what he said to them, verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on the serpents, the scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Did you catch why we are to be excited? Is it because we have power over demons, or they had power over demons with the help of God's Holy Spirit? No, that's not it. We are to be excited and happy because we will become eternal spirit beings. And I think it goes without saying that at the Passover time each year, as well as during all the holy day periods, our focus and attention on the spiritual blessings we have been given is heightened. And this, of course, once again reminds us of the importance of keeping these days annually. And we need these reminders. I think we would all agree, as we've gone in many cases year after year for many, many years, to keep these days, we gain greater appreciation for them. Yet in reality, part of our goal, if it is not already, should be to thank God daily for the knowledge of his truth and what that ultimately means for each of us, so long as we respond to the knowledge that he's given us. Someday we hope to be born into the kingdom of God. At that time, the blessings will be completely unmeasurable. Yet even today, right now, we are, or certainly can enjoy, wonderful blessings that come from God's Holy Spirit. What a choice position to be in. I do hope we are grateful in the way God wants us to be. Philippians chapter 4. Turn with me there if you would, please. Philippians chapter 4. And let's take a look here at verse 3. I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Now, as we saw in Luke 10, the real reward in front of those who are faithful to the truth of God comes as a result of having our names written in heaven. Here it is called the book of life. So let's ask and answer, when are these names written in heaven? Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are begotten of God, and that is when our name is written in the book of life. In other words, after repentance and baptism. Now, of course, we have to continue to respond to God's instruction, as opposed to taking the stance, as many do, that call themselves Christian. They say they are saved already, so there's nothing that could change that. You know, once saved, always saved. But we know otherwise. As 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19 tells us, we can quench the Spirit. That said, let's continue to see what else the Bible shows. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1, and I would like to read verses 21 and 22. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So God's Holy Spirit seals us and gives us a down payment for the future. This is an awesome, awesome blessing, isn't it? But what else happens? 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Verses 12 and 13. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. So once again, we see here that God comes to us, or into us, by his Spirit. Then the next question that comes to mind probably is, well, how permanent is this? And the answer is, well, that's largely dependent upon you. As I pointed out just a moment ago, let's notice this also by reading in Revelation chapter 3, and specifically verse 5, the words of Jesus Christ. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So we must continue to what? Overcome as each day passes. It's not as though we just snap our fingers and boom, we're somehow perfect. That we all know that. That's for sure. Days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. Months turn into years. Our overcoming does not stop until Jesus Christ returns or we die, whichever happens first. Now, so what that means is that our names can be blotted out if we do not choose to continually work on overcoming. And when we don't work on overcoming, we don't appreciate the importance of being grateful. Did you get that? When we don't work on overcoming, We don't appreciate the importance of being grateful. There must be growth. Instead, we'll show ingratitude. And when we are ungrateful, then we frankly just cannot see what God wants us to see. If I were to ask the question, who do you think are the most ungrateful people of all? What would your answer be? Who are the most ungrateful people of all? Think about that for just a second. What are your thoughts? I believe my answer would be all too often, the ones that have the most. That's a sad statement when you think about it. Now, I know there are always exceptions to the rule. But I also know that part of the reason Christ tells us to come out of the world and to follow him is because when we are of the world, we tend to rely on things of the world. And this takes any gratitude away from God and places our comfort zone on our possessions, our things. In other words, we're thankful for our possessions rather than any knowledge that could be imparted to us by God. I've shared with you before, I really firmly believe we are the richest people in the world because of what we know and what God's blessed us with and the opportunity to be first fruit. Now, we may not be rich in the eyes of the average human being, but we sure are in God's eyes. And I hope we recognize the value and the true wealth that we that's been placed upon us and in our hands. If you question that, go back and read how ungrateful the Israelites were after leaving Israel. Another, are we thankful for the possessions rather than on knowledge that could have been imparted to us? You know, I think about that and I think about the Israelites. In no time at all, they turned to a golden calf that they made with their hands. In their case, the more they were given by God, the more they seemed to be ungrateful. Why, this calf is the one that saved. What kind of nonsense is that? It's just ridiculous, isn't it? They never really seemed to get the point of coming out of the world and following God and the man that he was working through at that time, Moses. In fairness to them, they were not given God's Holy Spirit. We, however, have been given God's Holy Spirit, so we don't have an excuse. There are individuals in the Old Testament, however, that also did get the picture, and it is encouraging to read that they will be rewarded for that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. As will you and I, if we are thankful and appreciative to the point that it shows in how we live and how we interact with God and with each other. Hebrews chapter 11, of course, known as the faith chapter, and beginning in verse 32. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Verse 35 says, women received their dead, raised to life once again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, and they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in the sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Wow! Did you catch that? What a tremendous blessing to be called in this age. Even the apostles, even the prophets are not going to get their reward until we do. That is, those who are faithful today. We have the opportunity to reign for 1,000 years ahead of and before the rest of the world, as we've all just been reminded of a month ago. Fellow family members, I truly hope we are most appreciative for what God has given us. And I hope that you make it a point to thank God and the Father and Jesus Christ for all that they have given you on this, to be thankful for on this Thanksgiving week. And while we are, while you are doing that, ask God to show you what else to be grateful for beyond what you have already sat and considered. There is no question in my mind that when God's Holy Spirit is active in our lives, we take this instruction seriously enough so that our thinking is altered so drastically, well, frankly, so drastically, that we find ourselves rather automatically thanking God for one thing after another. We'll find that our prayers consist of more and more time simply thanking God for what He's so graciously given us. It's easy for us to think of some things that we go to Him to say, I need help with. But it gets easier and easier to add to the list and spend more of our time in prayer thanking God the more we think about what we're covering today. Let's read from the book of Hebrews, reminding us of the importance of gratitude. Chapter 12, excuse me, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people. Now, I realize it's easier for us to do this with some people than it is with other people. But this is what God holds us to. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Don't allow things in our lives that derail us from the bigger picture. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. At a certain particular point in time, he reached the point where he said, I am desperate for this, and took his eyes off the bigger prize. Verse 17, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. When we are not grateful, we don't tend to pursue peace. That's part of what I take away from what we read here. When we aren't grateful, we don't tend to pursue peace. And when we don't pursue peace, we have horrible relationships with others, including ones that we one time may have said we loved. You see, being grateful in the way God wants us to be is much more than what meets the eye the first time. There is much to contemplate here. Verse 25, continuing in chapter 12. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. And I'm assuming we'd all say we definitely don't seek to refuse God and his instruction in our lives. Yet when we fail to appreciate what God has done for us and what he continues to do for us in a consistent way, then we are much more likely to refuse listening to God even without realizing it. This verse makes it very clear what God's expectations are of us, doesn't it? We are expected to respond to the calling God has given us, and we're expected to show our gratitude. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, something that I haven't brought up to this point is that any of us can become bitter over time when we go too long without showing appreciation for what God has done and continues to do for us. Verse 28 points out that we should be grateful and serve God with reverence and with godly fear. When we do this, we push out bitterness and we show our appreciation. When we do that, God's pleased with us. And I think it's safe to say that all of us really need to regularly consider whether or not we are expressing to God a truly grateful attitude and heart. Our responsibility is to heed and appreciate what God has given us. We do not want to be like physical Israel and neglect God. Let's now go back to Psalms, this time the 107th Psalm, Psalm 107. And here in Psalm 107, let's read what verse 1 shares with us. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. There is no question that God expects to hear from us regularly. He wants us to know, that we are grateful by us both telling him as well as us showing him in how we live. It says here, his mercy never fails. When I was young, I know we all probably have favorites, if you will, but when I was young, I remember my father telling me that I said, Dad, what's your favorite hymn in the hymnal? I was probably 9, 10, 11 years old. Well, son, I think my favorite is his mercy never fails. I said, why you like that one? He says, I just really like what it has to say. Now, that may or may not be your favorite one in terms of the melody or that kind of thing. And I was too young to really appreciate in many ways what he was really saying then. But as I've gotten older, boy, I've sure come to appreciate and understand why he would say, for example, that was his favorite hymn. I get it. It's a tremendous blessing and a beautiful thought to consider. His mercy enduring and never failing. Let's now read further as we continue in verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of his lands and from the east and from the west, from the north and the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Notice what he did. They cried out to him. He delivered them. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go into a city for a dwelling place. And then notice verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works and to the children of men. Do you think it's important that God hear from us when he answers and responds and blesses us and extends mercy? Well, I think it's pretty obvious what the answer to that is. For he satisfies the longing soul, verse 9, and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Then those who sat in darkness in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. They finally reached a point, verse 13, where they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death, broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now I'll ask you, do you think God listens to us and helps us when we sincerely cry out to him and we do our part at the same time? I think we all have the same answer to that, a dogmatic yes. Absolutely. We still have time, as long as Christ hasn't returned and we are breathing, to develop a relationship with God in which we can not only turn to him and place our cares and concerns there, but we can also continue or show continued appreciation through giving thanks for the magnificent blessings he's given us, coupled with obeying what he teaches. Psalm 105. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works and glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. If you feel like you're not rejoicing enough in your life, consider the words that we're reading here. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. So go back to God. Place your cares, your troubles, your frustrations, everything in his lap and say, God, I know you can give me exactly what I need, and boy, do I need this. So I'm going to focus. God, I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to focus on what I need to do, because I know you'll help me. Seek the Lord in his strength, verse 4. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. You know, we of all people should be most grateful for what we have been given. And frankly, this is why I get so excited when I see someone new being called by God. The whole idea that someone else not only is gaining the knowledge of the truth of God, but that they are on fire for that truth, what a wonderful God we worship. I do hope we are grateful in the way that God wants us to be. Psalm 116. Psalm 116, let's pick up in verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. We can't give God anything physical to thank him for what he's given us, but we can accept salvation in gratitude. Now, how do we do this? Through loving and obeying his laws and commands. That is what he's looking for in us. Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, let's read the first couple of verses here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is something that I hope and pray all of us have been busy working on every day. In order for this to do this fully, a mind of gratitude towards God is required. We can say we're grateful, but we must show it. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, let's begin in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Now, let's think about what it is we're reading here. This is quite a list. These are the traits that God wants to see in us that helps reflect to him you're truly appreciative of what he's given you through his Holy Spirit. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. You want me to do what? Yeah, that's what God's saying. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Why? Because I want to show God how much I love him, and in turn, I'm going to show that through how much I love and treat other people. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Fellow family members, the way that we show God that we love him is by following him and by giving him thanks. That's what this tells us. Michael Medved was right. You won't learn from school or from work or any other place who to thank for the blessings that we have been afforded in our lives. Our thanks is to the Father and the Son. Our thanks is to be mentioned and practiced daily. The poison of ingratitude has been affecting our society and sadly even our church culture periodically. Both the Father and the Son deserve better. Let's be certain each time we pray that we take much of that time, as Colossians puts it, giving thanks to the Father and the Son. After all, it's a priceless treasure to understand the truth of God. Surely we are most richly blessed among all people. Each of us has a direct responsibility to give thanks for that blessing. So How grateful are you to God for the understanding and calling that He's given to you? It is your job, my job, to make sure that He sees a positive answer to that question as each week passes.